It is time for Faith Unscripted.
Welcome, everyone, to the Faith Unscripted show, hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich. The studio line is 845-429-1700. Feel free to call in at any point during the Faith Unscripted program with any questions you may have for Pastor Rich. And as an added bonus, the first new caller on today's show will receive a $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book, A Journey of Repentance, Renewal, and Return. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the one, the only, Pastor Rich.
Good morning, and thanks again for being with us on Faith Unscripted. I'd like to welcome all of our audience. You make the show possible, and your calls enrich us. So please call us if you have any questions at all, and I promise I will try to answer them. I won't always answer them correctly, but answer them I will. And today I'd like to start out by giving a shout out to all our Jewish brothers and sisters, especially my buddy Rabbi Paul Kurland, on the Feast of Shavuot, the Jewish Feast of Pentecost. So I just like to, for all of you who are not Jewish and who may not know what Shavuot is, it is a harvest feast, for lack of a better term. It celebrates the end of the wheat harvest in Israel, or at least it did in its origins. And so why celebrate it? Because the fruits of the field are seen as a gift from God. And that's something that all of us need to remember. In this beautiful weather, when we see the flowers begin to bloom, the rhododendrons at my home are blossoming now. And if I just see a flower, I've just seen a flower. But if I realize, as Judaism would call me to in this beautiful feast, that all of the fruits of the field are the gifts of God, then I am enriched, because I begin to realize that I'm surrounded by grace and by blessing. So in the old, this was one of the pilgrimage feasts. So back when there was a temple in Jerusalem, the faithful Jews were encouraged to make a pilgrimage to it and to make a gift of bread, of loaves of bread, which would then be giving back to God the first fruits of what had come from God. It's also, as the feast evolved, a feast that celebrates the giving of the Torah. And the Torah is the law. The Torah is the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, together called the books of Moses. And these are the books of the law, as that law was given to Moses and to the Jewish people initially on Sinai at that moment of covenant, at the moment when God says to the people of Israel, to the Jewish people, you are mine and I am yours. And that is an irrevocable covenant. So whether we're Jews or Christians or Muslims or Sikhs or whatever, we look back at that moment, and at least I acknowledge that God, when he makes a promise, never rescinds on it. The Jewish people are those who have been set apart, a holy people, set apart by God to be a blessing to the nations. And today the Jews celebrate the giving of the Torah, the giving of the law. What's the law for the Jews? The law is that which sets them free. The law doesn't say you must do this and you mustn't do that and constrict them. Not the way it should be seen, at least. Not in the way it should be seen. The law is that which frees us for life. It frees us to do what God wills us to do. So what the Jews are celebrating in the Torah, in the giving of the Torah, is the law and the freedom it brings to know what it is to be a holy people, you know, to follow that law and to honor it. And lastly, it gives them joy. Because when you live in the will of God, you cannot have anything but joy. I'm not saying happiness. I'm not saying everything's going to go well for those who follow God's law in their lives. I'm saying that whatever comes, ups or downs, they have the joy of knowing they are in the presence and in the power and in the will of God. So that's a great thing. How do our Jewish brothers and sisters celebrate Shavuot, which is also called the Feast of Pentecost because it comes about 50 days after Passover? Well, one of the things they do is read the book of Ruth, because Ruth is also a book about harvest. So if you'd like to be one with our brothers and sisters in Judaism, unless, of course, you are Jewish, but if we want to have simpatico, it might be a blessed thing for all of us to read the book of Ruth today. It's in everybody's Bible if you're a Jew or a Christian. And it's a beautiful book, so read it and read it asking yourself the question, what does this, the Word of God, ask of me today? Why is this a sacred book? What is it saying to me? Because it's one thing to read the Scriptures as an ancient document, and they are, all of the Scriptures, ancient documents. It's a completely other thing to say, in this ancient document, there is something for me today. What can I take away from it? What does it teach me? What does it ask of me? What does it require of me? So that's one of the things we can do. And I think I'm going to do that today. I'm going to read the book of Ruth. It's not terribly long. Another thing that Jews do, and I'm not exactly sure why. There are different rabbinic legends. And if my buddy Paul was out there and can call in, you could tell us more about this. They eat dairy. So this is a day that you forget about the meat, take out the ice cream, take out the cheese blintzes, and enjoy them. So again, in simpatico with my brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith, I intend to eat my fair share of ice cream and perhaps snarfle down a cheese blintz or two before sundown. And lastly, and most importantly, I think, for our Jewish friends, today is a day to study the Torah. So take out your Hebrew Bible, or take out your Old Testament if you're a Christian, and look at those first five books. Some of them are more difficult to read than others. Some of them are boring. Some of them are exciting and beautiful. And I would recommend that all of them have something to say to us, all of us. So it's not a bad day today, too, to take a look at, say, Genesis. And again, ask the question, what is the law that was given to Moses on Sinai, that Jesus says not a jot, not the single smallest part of a letter of that law will pass away until it's all come to pass? What is in that for us? What can I learn from the story of creation? What can I learn from the story of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? And so I would give that to all of us as a homework assignment from this today's show, and especially to my Jewish brothers and sisters. I pray a blessed Shavuot to all of you, and I thank you for the great tradition of Judaism from which has come to me my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So thank you, brothers and sisters. Have a blessed and beautiful Shavuot, and you've got a beautiful day, at least here in Rockland County, to celebrate it. Now, Shavuot is the Jewish Pentecost, but this Sunday is Pentecost for Christians. So again, what does Pentecost mean? Pentecost, it occurs 50 days after the Feast of the Resurrection. So 50 days after Easter, we find this feast, and we celebrate in that feast as Christians the coming of the Holy Spirit upon Jesus' church, the first disciples, and by extension, the coming of the Holy Spirit upon us. So why is it called Pentecost? For the same reason that Shavuot is called Pentecost, because it happens 50 days after something. In the case of Shavuot, 50 days after Passover. In the case of Christianity, 50 days after the Feast of the Resurrection, which coincides every year with pretty much with Passover. So what happens? Well, in the story that we hear in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear the story of the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. Jesus has promised his disciples, after I leave you, after I go back to the Father, and that's the Feast of the Ascension, which we celebrated last Thursday, where Jesus returns to where he came from. What do we believe as Christians? That Jesus is the eternal Word of God through whom all things came into being and through whom all things were made. That eternal Word, the Logos, the Word that the Father speaks, the creative voice of God, that Logos takes on flesh, becomes one of us. What does that mean? The incarnation, right? It for Christians, the incarnation shows us the ultimate possibility of our own humanity. Our humanity is that which is made to hold divinity. We are nothing less than that. And so Jesus, the divine that has come into human flesh, lives as one of us, puts off his divinity, Paul says, and humbles himself, becoming a person who walks the dusty roads of Judea, who suffers, who struggles, who learns, as every human being suffers, struggles, and learns. And ultimately, who dies, giving up his spirit, as every human being will, into the hands of the Father whom he trusts and loves. And he returns then in his glorified form after his resurrection. God takes this Jesus who has been crucified and raises him up, because what the world has said no to, the Father has said yes to. And in saying yes to Jesus, he says no to death. He says no to sin. He says no to emptiness. And he says that life wins, that the ultimate end of all life is resurrection and is eternity. And so when Jesus rises, we rise with him. And Jesus told his disciples, wait now, and I will send this, once I go back to the Father, I'll send the Spirit. So here we see sort of a we see a Trinitarian reality here. The Father sends the Son sends the Spirit, and the Spirit comes upon the church with power. John the Baptist had said that Jesus will baptize not with water but with the Spirit. This is the baptism of Spirit. The Spirit comes on the early church with power, and that power and that presence and that love of God remains the center of who we are. And it is our challenge then, and our celebration in this Sunday, to live in that Spirit, to trust in that Spirit, to pray in that Spirit, and to stay out of that Spirit's way. And we get in the way of the Spirit when we live in our ego, when we put I ahead of thou. So Pentecost is the day when we celebrate that which is the true center of all of our lives, the Spirit of God within us, because we are, every one of us, made in God's image and filled with God's Spirit. And I think we have a call. We don't have a call. I thought we had a call.
No call. No. But soon. Hopefully.
Thank you.
The $25 gift card is still up for grabs, as well as a copy of Pastor Rich's book. So please give us a call. The studio line is 845-429-1700.
And we're about to go into our musical interlude, but just a break from the normal spiritual conversation to remind everyone in the listening area that today is Election Day. We are having elections for school budgets and school boards. And I don't care where you live or what you think, everyone, every citizen should be interested in how we are educating our children. So I would encourage everyone to take an interest in this election and to vote, or at least to make a commitment to yourself and to our community that says, I will be careful about the schools that our children are learning in, because we need to know that they are learning truth and that they are learning to be good, strong, and beautiful people. So elections all day today, and we do have a call this
and
time.
And we now, yes, we do have
yes.
a caller.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Reverend. How are you? This is Bob Trevero. I called you a couple of weeks ago.
Bob, always good to hear your voice. How are you?
Very well, thank you. And I just wanted to call in and once again thank you for calming words and words of wisdom during, you know, such tumultuous times, as they say. You know, it's just a joy to turn on the radio or turn on the Alexa or whatever you want and just hear your voice. And, you know, gives us comfort. It gives me comfort anyway.
Well, Bob, thank you so much. I really appreciate your kind words, and I appreciate that you listen and call in. So always a joy to hear from you.
Well, thank you. And I'm did you send me the book? I think I got it a couple of weeks ago. I gave Steve my address and everything. Yep. So
and Chris is sitting next to me. Chris is our factotum, the guy who does everything.
Oh,
and he's signaling to me that it's on the way. So we have not forgotten you.
I can't wait to read it. Thank you very much.
And it's autographed, too. It could be a collector's item.
You think so?
Yeah, it might be worth something someday.
Well, anyway, I wish you guys the best. God bless. And let's pray for peace in the Middle East and in the world, that's for sure.
Amen. In fact, let's do that now. On this Feast of Shavuot, Creator God, I ask you to keep your people Israel under your protective arm. Keep those who live in the land that you have chosen, that you made holy. Keep the people there safe. Defeat all who would harm your holy people. And in this Feast of Shavuot, in this Feast of the Giving of the Law, let the law be the consolation of your people Israel, as it has always been. In your holy name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, bye-bye.
Okay, God bless.
You are listening to the Faith Unscripted program hosted by Clarkstown Reformed Church's own Pastor Rich Hasselbeck. Please check us out on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Just search for Clarkstown Reformed Church or check us out on our website at crcwestnyack.org. And just a quick reminder for everyone that Clarkstown Reformed Church is now open for live services. So if you would like to meet Pastor Rich and the Faith Unscripted crew in person, come on down. Our services are held every Sunday starting at 10:30 a.m. And our address is 107 Strawtown Road in West Nyack, New York. And again, to ask any questions during today's program, please give us a call. Our studio line is 845-429-1700. And if you would like to send us any questions to talk about on one of our future shows, please send a message to Pastor Rich at revrich@mac.com. That's revrich@mac.com. And for the musical portion of today's program, we will play Beams of Heaven, featuring the amazing Shelton Becton on piano and vocals. Enjoy. Thank you.
And that was the incomparable Shelton Becton playing at our Mother's Day service at Clarkstown Reformed Church. And Shelton will be back frequently. So please, if you like his music, come and tell him yourself. And while he won't be here this weekend, he'll be back frequently, and we love him. And the power and the energy that he and all of the Psalm C chorale bring to worship at Clarkstown Reformed Church. And why do they bring that energy? Well, back to Pentecost, because they bring that energy because they play with spirit. And I don't mean any old spirit, because when you play with spirit in church, you play with the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit is the energy and the love and the power of God that fills all of creation. If you want to look for the Holy Spirit, look in your garden. Look in your heart. Look all around you for the places where you see God's love manifest in big ways and in small ways. You know, on Sunday, we had one of the people in our congregation ask me to pray for her father, who passed away about a year ago. And she passed me an index card, and we do this in church too. So if you come ever to our church, there will be somebody there saying, "Do you have anything you'd like us to pray for?" We put that on an index card, and then I get it ultimately. And sometime during the service, I'll pray for each of those intentions. Well, the intention she gave, she said, pray for my daddy. She said, pray and help me to know that he's safe and that he knows that that I love him. And so we did that. We prayed for that intention during our service. Now, as a little backstory to this, after her father's death, she got the gift of a butterfly, and for her it was the sign of his presence. She looks for butterflies. Well, after the service, she went out for breakfast with friends, and the woman sitting next to her had a butterfly necklace on. And just by happenstance, that same woman bought our grieving daughter a butterfly ring. Lovely butterfly ring. Touched her heart. And lastly, a friend had a picture of a butterfly along with a quote from one of the letters of St. Paul, beautifully framed, and that person got a call from Michaels that the framing was accomplished and finished, and so he was able to give that beautiful picture of a butterfly to her on Sunday. In that moment, she realized there were butterflies all around her, and in her mind and in her heart, God had answered her prayer. She got a sense that her father was okay. The butterflies appeared and manifested themselves. That was her way of seeing the Spirit in her life. And what I'm suggesting to each one of us is that when we pray, our prayers are manifest. The answers to our prayers are manifest frequently in little ways that God peeks at us from some vantage point in God's creation, and we get what one author has called a God wink, a little sense that we are loved and cared for and blessed by the God who answers prayers. So that's the Spirit at work. The Spirit is at work in our hearts when we find love instead of animosity, when enemies speak to each other again, when friends join hands in loving cooperation, when nations act peacefully and not in a warlike manner, when we stop wanting to get revenge. And we find mercy in our hearts for those who perhaps did wrong us in the past. So when all of that happens, don't think it's happening accidentally. It's the Spirit of God recreating the face of the earth. In the Hebrew Bible, the Christian Old Testament, we have images for the Spirit. One of those images is wisdom. By the way, and my rabbi friends can correct me, I believe that's a feminine construct, the word for wisdom. So wisdom is that within us which draws us to the right places, even when it's hard to go there. And in the letter of James, the author says, pray for wisdom and you will not be disappointed. God will abundantly bless the prayers that are prayed asking for wisdom. I would maintain that in our world today, we need more prayers for wisdom and less prayers for vengeance. More prayers for love and fewer prayers for settling scores. And so join me this week in praying for those things. Another word in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, for the Holy Spirit is ruach, Ruach, it even sounds like a breath, doesn't it? It's the breath of God. And so when God breathes, the world comes to life. When God breathed into Adam, he breathed into Adam a living spirit. And when we want to live, the breath that we must breathe in is the breath of God. That is God's spirit. And that's a concept that we find in both the Christian Bible and the Hebrew Bible. So it bridges the testaments, and it's a wisdom that all of us can embrace. The breath of God is important. A medieval, I guess she was an abbess, Hildegard of Bingen, used to teach her sisters in the abbey as they sang to feel themselves to be feathers on the breath of God. So I'd like to give you that image, the image of a feather on the breath of God, rising and going up and traveling, only because the ruach, the wind, the breath, is there to give you loft and to give you direction. Because that's what the Spirit does. That Spirit empowers us to pray. We can't pray without the Spirit of God praying in us. And so one of the most important things we can do in our spiritual life is pray, but that prayer should come with humility, because we can't pray on our own. We need the Spirit within us. God speaks deep, speaks unto deep. And God speaks within us to the God who is Father and who calls us to himself, so that we might go from our kingdom into his kingdom seamlessly.
And just a quick reminder to folks that the $25 Visa gift card and an autographed copy of Pastor Rich's book is still up for grabs. So please give us a call down here at the station. It's 845-429-1700.
Thanks, Chris. Yes, and please call, because we love your calls. So perhaps the Spirit is moving you to call us. Who knows? A lot of people, let me back that up a bit. There is research that suggests that while people value prayer, and I think the research was done among Christians, but I'm not absolutely certain, people value prayer, but they don't think they do it well, and they don't do it much. So interesting, because there's a disconnect between the values of people as they are spoken, the articulate values, and the values that are lived. And, of course, most important is the way we live. If we're not living out of our value system, then why have values in the first place, right? So let's look at prayer, because the Spirit empowers prayer. It's a perfect week to talk about it. But also, there is this myth that people don't think they pray well, and so they don't pray. So the first thing to look at when we think about prayer is just making time to do it. Because if you tell yourself you can't, you won't. But if you tell yourself you can, you will. And I think we have a caller. So how can I help you, caller?
Hi, Pastor Rich. I'm calling because I just wanted to tell you how inspirational your show is, and especially at this time during the pandemic when we may not have been able to get to our own houses of worship. It's so nice to hear this every week.
Well, thank you so much. You are a blessing, and I really appreciate your kind words.
You're welcome. Please keep it up, because you're inspiring a lot of people.
Well, thank you. I would now, in the spirit of Pentecost, I would like to tell you, I am not inspiring people except that the Spirit inspires me, because I don't have any of my own wisdom, but I do pray for it every show.
Yes, and, well, it's working.
And if you feel inspired, that is the Spirit resonating within you. So everything that we're talking about on this show is, in a certain sense, manifest in your call.
I appreciate that.
And don't forget to leave your information with Steve, because you won our gift card and the book.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. I look forward to reading it.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Okay. So the myth that you can't pray is broken down like this. If you want to pray, you can. If you feel like you'd like to pray, that's the Spirit in you saying, I'd like her to pray, or I'd like him to pray. So the first thing to do is just do it. And just doing it means you don't have to sound good. You don't have to look good. You don't have to be good. All you have to do is try. Because to try is, in fact, to do it. There's no right way. There's no wrong way. Prayer is communicating with God. Think about the difference between communicating with God and communicating with your best friend. You know, can you communicate with your best friend? Sure you can. Do you have to be perfect in that communication? No. No one is. You just have to sit down and begin to talk and to share and to do things together. And that's all we do when we pray. So just speak to God in your own words. Let God know what's on your heart. It doesn't always have to be asking for something. I mean, again, think if you had a friend that all they did was ask you for things, you wouldn't think that that was much of a friendship, would you? But if you have a friend who's sharing his or her life with you, talking about their day, talking about their struggles, talking about their interests and what makes them happy and joyful, that's a good thing.
Another caller.
Oh, we have another caller. All right. Hello.
Hello, Pastor. How are you? My name is Gracie. I want to tell you I do enjoy listening to your show. I'm a practicing Catholic, and I went to Catholic school through the 12th grade.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, you know, I enjoy listening to you, and also what you said about praying is so true. If I might say something personal, as a result of this epidemic, you know, you're in the house more. I did more praying than usual, and the more you pray, the more you want to pray.
Uh-huh. Amen.
As
we say when we pray.
right. Amen. Right.
Well, when you make time for it, you have time for it, right?
That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah. And you don't always have to be asking for something. You can praise God. You can say, God, what a beautiful day you gave us today. You know, all of a sudden, it had been cold, and I woke up today, and boom, it's hot.
Definitely.
And it's beautiful, and it's sunny. It's going to be in the 80s. Thank you. Thank you for making such a beautiful, glorious day. So not only praise, but thanks.
Right, and always asking for everything. Adore, praise, and thank God for all the beautiful things we have in this life.
Well, and also wonder. I mean, find the things that are just so beautiful, you can't even wrap your arms around them, and say, God, I just wonder as I see the beauty of your creation. I look up at the night sky, and I see all these stars and planets and stuff. And I look up there, and you must be so much greater than this. And this is so great. So we sharing that wonder. And then pray for yourself. Pray for your needs, for sure. Pray for the people in your life, for others. If there's somebody who's sick, pray for your sick friends, your sick children. I had a friend who used to say that it was spiritual malpractice if you have a sick child not to pray for them. It was just like you wouldn't not take them to the doctor. Why wouldn't you just say a prayer over them?
Yeah, well, you know what? People that are raised in the faith and have it, you know, all these years, I mean, that's second nature, what you say. You know, as Catholics, we have a lot of set prayers. You know what I mean?
I do know that, and some of them beautiful, right? The Lord's Prayer is a set prayer, liturgical prayer. You go to Mass, you go to worship service on Sunday,
and
you hear a lot of the prayers that have been prescribed by the church or by the liturgy. And you hear them week after week after week, and there's a beauty in that rhythm, right?
Definitely. And also, like, I know Catholics have a very close bond with the Blessed Mother. And we have a beautiful, a lot of beautiful prayers with that, praying to the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of, you know, Lourdes, Our Lady of Fatima, the Miraculous Medal. But the bottom line is the more you pray, the more you want to pray, and we're so lucky.
Well, and I'm glad you bring up Mary. I've spoken of Mary on other shows.
Yes,
but there's a beauty to that devotion to Mary, keeping in mind Mary isn't a goddess. Mary is a great saint, but we can pray to anyone. I can ask you for prayer. I said, please pray for me. Would you do that, by the way?
Yeah, oh, definitely. of course. And as you said, our sick friends, dear Lord, intercede that our friends have comfort and get better. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much. And God bless you. But just to pick up on that strain of the conversation, when we pray to Mary, it's like asking a friend for a prayer, except that friend happens to be the mother of our Savior. So, you know, she's probably got his ear, right? If I ask my mother for something from my father, you know, I have a good advocate. So Mary is a person that Protestant America needs to rediscover, because we need a mother just like the church needs a mother. Right? When Jesus on the cross looks down at John and his mother, he says, "Son, behold your mother. Mother, behold your son." He is giving Mary to the whole church, and we make a huge mistake if we don't embrace that relationship.
And for the next musical selection, we will play The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power, featuring the Psalm C Chorale led by the great Shelton Becton. The tenor soloist in the number is the wonderful LeFrederick Coaxner. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Again, some of the beautiful music for our from our Mother's Day service a week ago Sunday, and we had such a gift in the wonderful musicians, not only Shelton and the bass, the drums, the guitar, but we also had some powerful voices that gave us music that lifts us up and heals us. And brings us into the presence of God. And that's what prayer does too. Prayer is something that brings us into the presence of God in an intentional way. And I say that because we're always in the presence of God. God walks with us every step of our journey, whether we know it or not. God is there. The great psychologist Carl Jung, over the lintel of the doorposts of his house in Küsnacht, Switzerland, had written Vocatus atque non vocatus Deus adorit. And that means whether or not we call on him, God will be there. And that is true. Whether or not we intentionally call on him, God is there. He doesn't miss a moment of the action of our lives. But when we pray, we place ourselves intentionally in God's presence, and we speak what's on our hearts. We don't need the words of others. The Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, is a beautiful prayer that Jesus gives to his disciples, and it's important to pray it. But it's also important to realize that we God wants to hear us speak. If you've had children, when a child begins to speak, you cherish their words. You know, the first dada or mama or no is a joy for a parent to hear, because your child is beginning to speak and you know those words are coming. You're not surprised by them, but you're filled with joy and love. And that's what God feels when we speak. We don't surprise him with what we say, but when we begin to speak, he loves that we are trying to reach out to him. And he loves the process of communicating with us and to us. So the first thing that prayer is, it's our reaching out and speaking and sharing our thoughts, our minds, desires with God. But the second thing is listening. I mean, if you have had a friend and all they did was talk at you and they never came up for air. And by the way, I have a few friends like that. You don't get a word in edgewise. You try to think, well, do I get a chance here? Can I say something? And when we're always talking to God, we have forgotten that part of the communication process is listening. And listening means not talking. So part of prayer is speaking. Part of prayer is knowing when to shut up and just sit in God's presence and let the Spirit move within us and see what's happening. And listen for what the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, refers to as the still small voice of God. And you'll know it when you hear it. So again, part of prayer is speaking and reaching out. Part is finding stillness of heart so that we can hear the voice of God when God speaks. And there are some techniques for doing that. I don't know if I have time to talk about too many of them. As a matter of fact, I don't think I have time to talk about any of them. So I will leave that till next week. So next week, we will pick up here. Among other things, we'll pick up here and talk about what it means to listen to God, how the great spiritual masters of all time have found ways to teach us the posture of prayerful listening. So we'll do that. But in the meantime, in this week of Pentecost, whether or not your Pentecost means Shavuot, or whether it means the descent of the Spirit on the church, I'm going to ask all of us in the audience, and I'll do this as well, to just watch for God's movement in your lives. And when you see it, jot it down. And next week, call us and share that. Because one of the things that can make this show even more beautiful is a listening audience that is alive to God. And a listening audience that will share and give witness to the movement of God in your lives, or its life. So watch this week. Watch for the butterflies. Watch for the blossoms. Watch for the ways in which God speaks to you, and they will be sometimes small, and sometimes they will be powerful. But they will always be moving, and you will know it when you see it. You'll know the presence of God when God moves you. So please jot that down and call us when you get a chance next week. And we will share with everybody in the audience the presence and power of God in our lives.